What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode number 129 of Confessions of a Market Maker. I'm your co-host, Ray, aka All Day Ray, and I'm joined here by my gregarious co-host, former market maker for 20 years and current day trading educator, the infamous Gorilla of House Street, JJ. How's it going?
Hey, good brother. Excited today.
Yes,
Very
me
excited
too.
today.
Very excited. Our guest today is Chief Brokerage Officer at Robinhood Markets. Prior to joining Robinhood, he oversaw the strategy and deployment of initiatives for trading at TD Ameritrade. He also served as a member of the company's senior operating committee. Our guest also focused on teaching the next generation of investors and championed the creation of the TD Ameritrade U program. Prior to his role at TD Ameritrade, our guest was responsible for the development of new trading tools and tech advancements for the thinkorswim trading platform. Let me introduce Steve Quirk, aka Q.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm excited to
Q,
be here. Yes.
thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
This is going to be fun.
It should be, yes. And
Definitely.
so we have you here to discuss a new exciting product market that you guys are offering, prediction markets, contract trading. It's actually interesting. Like a good friend of our podcast introduced us to this idea years ago, and I always thought it brilliant. As someone who's obviously into trading, but also I sports bet, I play daily fantasy sports. So it's a very intriguing product to me. Steve, can you just explain to the audience what is a prediction market and how this ties into trading?
Sure. I would say there's so like even exchanges have been sort of hovering around this. I what it is it's kind of a sort of a derivative of so like think about let's go to like the Board of Trade and the whole or the CME and the whole the grain exchange. And we used to joke, and I'm gonna reveal my age, but back in the day when when there were droughts and the grains were rallying on thoughts of scarcity and bad crops, it would rain in Chicago, which is not where these a lot of these crops are grown, but the price would sell off. And and we always joke that they should be monitoring where it really is raining because that's what's going to really impact the crops. But so the exchanges even took it a step further and got into like weather futures, because what it is really like, in other words, it's kind of like when you have earnings on Apple and you call everything correct. You get the right number of new phones that were sold. You get earnings, you get EPS, you get revenue, you nail it. And then it comes out. And the stock sells off because there's guidance or some external factor that drives it down. It drives customers crazy. So where I think prediction markets are going is one level deeper, so that you can actually benefit or hedge yourself on what actually matters to this stock. Just like the election mattered to a whole bunch of sectors, people wanted to see that. Or they wanted to be able to act on it as quickly as possible, and that's where prediction markets are going. The move into sports, I know there's stigmas here in sports. There's stigma. I don't think those stigmas really exist as much overseas, both in either in Asia or in Europe. Sports is an industry. Let's not pretend it's not an industry. It's an industry, and so the whole complex. For a long time being untouchable, think about where we've come from. There didn't used to be a team allowed in Vegas. There's quite a few teams there now. The leagues wouldn't even mention anything about betting. Now they own the companies. Like you can, like it's just, and to me, it's just another industry. It's not going to be the focus of prediction markets because there's too much there. Like think about it. With economic events, with elections, with information, really what it is customers want information that's going to be able to help them in their decision making and their investing. And that can apply to virtually any industry and or any category. So
So that's
that's
interesting.
yeah, that's
So
what I think.
you see this almost as like a an extension of helping people decision make with potentially other bets they're making, whether in the stock market or where else.
I see it. That's exactly how I see it. And the other beautiful thing about it is it allows you to make those decisions when the news is happening. So we aren't, again, we've been pushing on this for quite some time. The antiquated notion that you have to wait for some old man to ring a bell two times a day is really silly. And I mean, I know that's ironic saying that because I grew up on a trading floor, but when you've been there and you understand it, you realize that it's not really necessary. I mean, the people that push back the hardest against extended hours are the people from it within the industry that they don't want to staff it 24 hours. But I mean, come on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Technology's got us to the point where that's not a struggle. We made it through COVID and we functioned fine.
Yeah, it's interesting the evolutions going on. And I didn't mention some of your other background in trading and on the floor. And JJ, this is probably a good time if you want to just
Definitely. Well,
ask Steve about some of that. Yeah.
what I'm fascinated is I'm 57. I've been in the industry for 33 years, and a lot of people our age, they have trouble adapting.
Yeah.
And we've seen how you've not only adapted, but in the creation of product, I mean, your whole sort of CV being thinkorswim, that was a huge software moment for retail traders. We've had Tom Sosnoff on the podcast and
He's
the
amazing.
Bat. Yeah, and the Bat and and how they created product with the small exchange. And it's beautiful to see how you guys have gone from the floors to actually the creation of product and then getting that product passed through the regulatory framework. That creation of that new business, which I think is essential to the evolution of our business. And Robinhood letting people, these guys are trading on their skateboard, on their mobile phone. I mean, remember the days we used to, have to get lines, put in, and those monochrome green monitors, and that was high end. Now it's like they've got the power, of like a warehouse full of computers in their palm. It's just beautiful and fascinating to see that. And I'm really excited about you guys going into futures too, but we'll talk about that later.
Well, I think that a couple things that are like, if I really take a step back and think about what happened since I started, and I'm even a little older than you. This is really funny. You know, when I started in this business, the week of the crash in '87.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk about a. It's become increasingly less volatile every day since I've been in the business for years. But you're right. The technology that we used to pay, I used to pay $10,000 a month for technology on the trading.
Yeah,
That today
definitely.
is there's much better technology that's free in the hands of every retail customer. Really, what happened is like I was in the, I was in the OEX S&P 100 pit many years, and we replaced the 600 people in that pit with every person in America who wants to be because they have the technology. We used to have such an advantage in terms of pricing. We weren't paying $79 a Schwab. We were paying
Yeah.
pennies. The information, there just wasn't access to information. And I think one of the things that you focus on, which is so important, is education. Like people have to learn to do this in a suitable manner so that they can have a long investing career. If you look
Definitely.
across those three planes, the level field has been flattened for retail customers, and I just think that's amazing. It's awesome.
It's a
Really
great
is.
time in finance.
Yeah, super interesting. Steve, I think to with the point about prediction markets helping decision make possibly in other areas, and I think about to the election night, and because I know that was a big deal with the poly market, the election bets. And I knew before, I was at like a little party, and I already knew before most people that like it was over. And then, but the news wasn't telling you that. The news was, they had no idea yet. And so it's interesting, and this is something as a sports bettor, I always, always kind of knew. It's like you don't listen to the pundits on TV. Go to the markets where the money is, and like that's gonna get you the best accuracy that you can. And so that's, I'm assuming that's what you're kind of saying with this, correct?
That's exactly right. So to your point, we were sitting in a room in New York because we were watching the election and watching everything, because we also had currency, or sorry, crypto trading. We also had 24-hour trading from 1,000 symbols, so we can see everything. And the number of, first of all, in a week, we had 610 million contracts traded on that election, and opened 800,000 accounts. So that tells you how much people want to see this information in a timely manner. But it was an hour before any of the networks had called it, and the contracts went like this. Crypto went like this. Tesla went like this. Everything was moving. And for customers or retail customers who care about a portfolio and are really attuned to what's happening, that's all they want. Like, I don't want to wait for somebody who has to milk something out because I need, ad revenue. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, they just want the inf access to information. There were a ton of people who were looking at it that probably didn't do anything. But guess what? They got information, and you know what? They could go to bed. They didn't have to sit up and wait for something that they already knew the outcome of.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So, just to give, people who are unfamiliar with the prediction markets and the mechanics, Steve, I like to kind of just start with the mechanics of it and how it works. So it's contract trading. I guess just for starters, it's peer-to-peer, correct? Like, this is not like where I'm betting against a sports book. This is like a peer-to-peer type of transaction, correct?
It's peer-to-peer, but think of it as like most thing that we do, we try to replicate, even on the crypto side, we try to replicate what we know and what we think is going to be best for customers. A pure peer-to-peer network is sometimes you're going to have a lack of liquidity. So there's market makers behind it. And we made sure of that before we ever did it. Trusted market makers that we already work with. Because you want to, like, I want to be able to say at any point in time when you want to get in or out, there's somebody that's there. And we hold those market makers to high standards, and they do a great job with it. And the contracts work very similar to what our customers already understand. And you both will be very familiar with it. It's really probability based. Like, it's 39, 70, and what are the odds on either side of that thing? And then the contract pays off at a dollar. And we, of course, have limits. We have a lot of checks and balances to make sure that, they actually have to meet the same suitability standards as if they're an option trader, a futures trader, and they become part of our, I'll call it our FCM entity, a customer of that.
Got it.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, so a dollar per contract, correct? Dollar per contract. So like you said, it's probability. So one team, like we'll use a college basketball, which I know you guys have going on right now. So one team might be 70 cents, the other 30 cents, and which implying like probabilities there. And then the contract settles at the end of the game with one team being 99, the other one or something like that, correct?
That's
Okay.
right. Yeah. And then you're paid out, then we refresh the game afterwards. Now, for the election, we had to wait till the inauguration because it was part of the contract. So, on the back end, we're in conversations with many right now, or we're working with Kalshi. But for the election contract, we work with ForecastX, which is kind of an offshoot of Interactive Brokers.
Cool. So okay, so you guys did have a prediction markets during the election, yeah?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay. Okay. Were you guys offering any other was it just the election, or did you
Just
guys have
the
other things? Just the election.
election. Yep.
Okay. All right. All right.
Right.
Cool.
Give you an idea how quickly, as soon as we looked at that and had conversations, we built that in about 2.5 weeks
Oh, wow.
and had that up and running for a week, but just saw massive adoption. And of course, that caught the attention of many in the industry because I think they understood the importance of what we were talking about earlier, of delivering timely information that's going to move markets or impact people's portfolios.
Yeah, I assume. I mean, maybe I shouldn't assume, but this was probably something you guys have been thinking about, for some time. It seems definitely in line with the demographic of Robinhood, yeah.
Yep, very much so. Yeah. And it's part of an offshoot of futures trading. So, and again, the exchanges are also the primary exchanges in the futures world are all, poking around here, or they've been nibbling at the edges with binary futures on a variety of products. And I would anticipate we'll see many more coming out, and then we'll just kind of look at what we think will be valuable for our customers. We have our ear to our customers pretty strongly. So they tell us what they're interested in and what would be helpful for them. And then we can look at the results of anything we do, and it just kind of reinforces that, or else we pivot.
I just got to take a quick time out to announce that our Micro E Futures trading room is now offering a 7-day free trial, no obligations offering, not only ES where JJ teaches and trade, but other futures, instruments, stocks, crypto. We also have daily fantasy sports and sports betting, which I'm highly active in. Again, that's a 7-day free trial, no obligations or commitment. Come join us at microefutures.com. Out of my personal interest queue, I don't know if you're able to delve into maybe what other things we could predict on coming up in the market. My only personal ask is if you could add golf. I would love to have golf in there, but are you allowed to delve in on or any hints at what's coming in the future?
I think the next thing you'll see is we'll expand some of the economic, because that's actually gotten a lot of traction. We did the Fed fund, but people are really interested in GDP, PPI. Those things move markets, as much as anything else. So customers have been asking for those pretty robustly. And then I think we'll just reevaluate it once the tournament's done on what we think is most interesting to move into next.
How has the participation been and the NCAA tournament about what you guys expected, maybe more? What's it look like?
I think it's we have men's and women's, so I think it's been probably about what we expected. If we wouldn't have done the prediction markets on the election, we probably would have been blown away, because we were blown away by participation there. But this is probably in line, a little bit ahead of where we were. But I think it's really going to heat up once we've already narrowed the field quite a bit. What's really kind of fun and fascinating is watching like a 5-12. It's amazing to watch. Like the, you just watch these contracts just go. And it's almost like, oh my gosh, these customers really have an amazing feel. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like I'm a Wisconsin fan, so I was a little disappointed. And I had all kinds of people, hit me up. Hey, are they going to pull it out? What are they going to do? What are they going to? And I'm like, look at the contract, man. There's not a lot of faith.
Yeah.
Quite
I mean,
amazing. Well, you can ask me, but like it's like listening to your pundit and one who's very biased,
Right.
Hugh, just curious. Sorry, let me hop in. How did you like this stuff is amazing. How did you as a firm, I'm a details guy. How did you guys manage the regulatory and the risk perspective of this and the compliance of this? Because you've got the CFTC on one side, SEC on one side. Where does this sort of fall in, and who's the policeman?
So it's CFTC and NFA.
Okay.
It's a separate entity.
Got it.
And we've been in, we con we're in constant contact
Oh
with, and
yeah.
we tell them, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing. Are you okay with it? They want information, we share information. So we've been, speaking with them all along. It's not in the jurisdiction of the SEC, so it's a completely separate entity. And then,
Got
of course, we have teams, and we go through funding, we go through how we're going to settle, we go through limits, we go through all those things, with the teams and with the regulators, just so they have a clean understanding of how we're going to do it. And then, of course, what you don't see behind the scenes is we're doing test trades with them because they want to see
Got
that
it.
it's going to function the way it should.
Understood.
Yeah,
Yeah.
before we ever go. And then, when we do. When we do launch, then we have people, we had some people that were not getting a lot of sleep this weekend.
I can imagine because, when people look at an app, that app is so, it's elegant, it's simple. You click on something, but when you click on that, there are so many transactions and compliance things and risk things and lawyers and this huge web of stuff that's happening behind the app. That's what fascinates me because, I'm from the industry. So it's amazing that you guys have managed that and yet made it look effortless and seamless to the end user, which that's fascinating.
What I would say though is like having had the experience of like it, we're sort of treating it like we would, other products that come through regulated entities, because it's not, I mean, as much as it is different, it's kind of a swaps product, it is really similar. It is a future after all. It's just a future on something else. So it's not like, even though there are a lot of, new things, whether it's from a compliance funding, et cetera, capacity, there are some things that aren't new. New things. We're funding on weekends, we're funding on Sundays, but we do that in crypto.
That's true. That's
Crypto
true. So
trades around
the
the clock every 24/7. So I think it's, even though it's new, there are many things that are familiar, and that's kind of the way we've always treated the crypto business as well. Even though it was, let's say, less regulated than the SEC businesses, we knew one day it's going to be
be
regulated.
regulated.
Like, it's going to be
Absolutely.
regulated in a similar manner. So.
Definitely. It's just fascinating to me how you manage to allow people access to all these different asset classes and new products, and yet the interface is just the simple, elegant app, but the amount of stuff going on in the background, I just find that stuff fascinating because I'm a mechanics guy.
You know, the one thing that I made this point, and I make it quite often, from my all the way back in trading options on a trading floor, and then going to thinkorswim, like even when we were acquired by TD Ameritrade, then we were acquired by Schwab, so I also work there.
Oh, okay.
If you would have told me like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, that a firm that does 99% of their trades on an app was going to be one of the top option trading firms in the US, I'd be like, no effing way.
Exactly.
It's too complex. What? That's what technology does for you. Beautiful design and the advent of technologies that permit you to do things like, you can, and now you have the advantage that I think is most important, which is it's always in your pocket. Right, I don't have to run back to my office or home.
Exactly.
Things happening. News is happening around the clock. Trading's happening around the clock. Assets are trading around the clock, and this is in my pocket around the clock. You can
Amazing
argue whether
stuff.
that's a good or bad thing, but for me, I love it.
I think from a business, you're getting customers 24/7. It's beautiful.
I
It's
make
like
this.
seven.
I tell this super funny story. My kids were younger, and we were, doing the summer vacation visiting Niagara Falls. Have you guys been there? Okay, you know that one tunnel where you go through that tunnel and it like at the end it's the waterfalls coming on top of you? I'm in that thing and I was, doing what I probably shouldn't do on vacation, trading some futures and things, and I lost connectivity and I'm
Oh
like
no.
being fridgety and, freaking, and my wife's like, oh my God, like, are you claustrophobic? Are you okay? What's up? And I'm like, no, I lost connectivity. And I'm in the middle of a trade. She's like, what's the matter with you?
I'm just thinking of that meme. He's like, Steve's one of us. He's trading on the family vacation. One of us. He's a degenerate just like the rest of us. Look at
That's
that.
right. Exactly.
Under Niagara Falls.
Had
That's great.
to
That's
pay for the vacation, you know?
hey, absolutely.
Exactly.
That's great. That's awesome. From the Q, it made me think of because you guys are offering the NCAA right now, and if you guys ever expand into other sports, I I mean, I guess this is not considered sports betting. So there's no right, because I know some states you're not allowed to sports bet, even though I know it's fairly common now in most states, but there's no regulations from state to state. Or is this offered everywhere?
Yeah, this is regulated at the federal level.
Okay.
So it I'm going to use legal terms that I'm not like our chief legal teams would tell you. I don't want to say it supersedes, but it's not it like this offering is not subject to state. Now, the states can object to it, which
Sure.
I'm sure you've seen, like Nevada and Massachusetts have. But if you look at what happens there? I mean, we'll have to see. They're going to have to, go and talk
Of
to the.
course, Nevada, Q. Of course,
Well,
Nevada.
we knew that.
Yeah.
We knew that.
That's obvious, right? We knew that one was coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so for listeners that don't know, like they're like got to protect their obviously their industry. Well, they've their view of protecting their gambling industry, I suppose. Let's see. Q. So I guess as far as have you guys, and this could be me just I keep thinking of like what's to come down the line. Are we going to see like any thoughts or plans if you can share? I don't know how much you can or not. Cross market product blends with with equities and events. I see you shaking your head, yeah.
Well, it depends. I think what you're asking is like what we kind of is sort of permissible now is like cross margining. You know what I mean? So like something that actually customers like is, let's say I'll use an example of I have a portfolio and now I'm getting a little nervous geopolitically about this portfolio. I'd like to find a way to sort of put a little bit of a hedge on this thing if possible. So maybe I take a S&P future, maybe even take a currency future because I think it's, my portfolio is subject to something that's going to happen internationally, and then put that on as a hedge against that, and then be able to margin those two together. We're not there yet, but we're definitely working toward that because I think that's super powerful. Like you shouldn't have to be limited to X asset class, you know what I mean? Now you can do it today, but you just don't get the advantage of like what we, is you guys are familiar with the cross margining aspect of that. I think these things do blend together, but I think that's actually going to happen naturally anyway because the same exchanges are all rolling, they're all going to be interested in rolling out these products. Like, so it's happening already. And it's much easier if it happens at the exchange level, then every broker doesn't have to do it, right? If it gets rolled out at the exchange level, then they're already doing it and we just become the recipients of that, which is a lot easier.
Sure, it
Nice.
makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. Q. So a lot of obviously traders, listeners of this podcast, I think of, we've mentioned me sports betting, playing daily fantasy sports. We think in terms of implied probability, pricing edges, portfolio correlation. You see these skill sets translating well here. Obviously, like anytime I see new things pop up, my mind immediately goes to, okay, like where's the edge? How can I beat this market? You see there being for savvy people, there could be some profit opportunity here.
Well, they can already look at they can already look at the probabilities here and then go to whatever else they're using and see that, we don't this is what Robinhood's famous for is compressing the margins and delivering it more back to the customer. That's what's happening here too. I mean, so it's very advantageous if you think about it in terms of the overall margins. And then some of the more gimmicky things that happen, like the parlays and single game, our customers are kind of bright, so they can figure out what the odds are on those, or even the buyouts in game, like they're terrible, right? Terrible. So, but they have a two-sided market, which is a penny, like, anytime you want, in and out, anytime. Like you don't have to wait for
Beautiful.
some offer. I think that's what's kind of meaningful and really kind of drives the engagement and the appreciation for it. Because what we're basically doing is, and I keep going back to this, is we're treating it like every other asset class, which, I mean, like I always marvel at this. Like if you think about it, average trade size in an equity is like 10 grand, and maybe you're giving up 40 cents or 24 cents on that. Like, where else in anything that you do is the edge that tight? Like, I bought a refrigerator, for $600. I can turn around and sell it back for 599 and 96 cents, right? That's amazing, right? I bought a car for 50 grand and I can sell it for 49. You know what I mean? Like, wow,
Definitely.
it's
It's a good point.
it's amazing. Like,
It
this should
is.
be the model for everything, right?
It definitely,
It would
definitely, because
be amazing if everything was tradable in the same manner as, well, first of all, think about how much more commerce there'd be.
exactly.
How hesitant are you to go, people are afraid to buy a car because they know they got to go to the manager and this and that, and there's not transparency. This is like this model and template should be just applied to everything. Can you imagine it on a medical bill? Right? And I can compare and contrast a whole bunch of different marketplaces.
That's huge.
Absolutely. Q, I had some guy in our trading room. I'll have to shout him out. Regan. He's been dabbling in the NCAA prediction markets. He was the one that first was like, "Hey, Ray, like you need to go take a look at this." And he what he was doing, I think, which you were sort of alluding to, I think, is that he was looking at arbitrage opportunities between what the prediction markets, what you guys were saying, and what the sports books were listing the odds at in live, like in-game betting. And he was finding he kept sending me like the different like mismatches and the potential arbitrage opportunities. So like you were saying, with users being savvy and potential finding arbitrage situations, which is going to be interesting to see how this all continues to play out with the addition of new things coming to these prediction markets. I'm really looking forward. I love, obviously, love all these things putting the strategical mind to use and like seeing what we could do here. It's really, really neat.
But for somebody like you who does this on a daily basis, having more optionality is just a good thing, right?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. Yeah, it just leaves more more opportunity. And that's why I said add golf for me, please, Q. Get golf in there. We got the Masters coming up.
I'm going to introduce you to a guy named JB McKenzie who runs all these for us.
Yeah.
There you
Put me in
go.
contact with him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ray will come up with product all day long. He's great at that.
We got
Well,
the
you know
Masters.
what? That's one of the things that we do consider. Like, we definitely want to hear from people, and we do on what they want. That's where, I mean, I gave you an example of that with the source of frustration around earnings. You know what I mean? It just drives people crazy. Like, I do everything right. I'm doing my homework. I get everything right. I understand like what the revenue is going to be. I understand how many units are shipped, and then boom, it's super frustrating. And they get into the, oh wait, is good news, or is good news, or is it like that,
Those head games could be, trying to figure that out. Yeah, that's,
I teach
yeah.
in that, JJ, right?
Oh, geez, no kidding. I'm just the amount of data that you guys have access to, and actually to model behavior and see what people are thinking. I mean, that's fascinating too from a finance perspective, right? My whole job was to be, how can I get people to buy 150 million shares of this stock over an 18-month period? That's been my whole life, right? I'm a distributor. So when I look at the information that you're pulling in real time, from what people are asking for, how they're trading, their trading habits. And from an educator's perspective, you can use that too to help teach people. The amount of information is just, it's mind-boggling and so beautiful.
So there's something that has been the one thing that bothers me the most, about this business, because I really love the business. I've always loved it. But what I really like is being able to help other people. successful. What drives me absolutely crazy is this tired, antiquated narrative that retail customers are stupid and they buy the top and sell the bottom. So instead of like, you can fight that narrative all you want, but like I'm gonna go off on a soapbox a little bit here. But when financial media, advertising is paid for by advisors who are telling people they're stupid and they need them to manage their money, you're never gonna win that narrative, right? So here's how we won that narrative. And I did it, we've done it twice. I did it at TD Ameritrade and I did it here at Robinhood. We basically created an index and we said, all right, what are the top 100 symbols that are held here by every customer? I don't care if you got $20 million. I don't care if you got $20, right? What percentage of your portfolio is in that? Now let's take a look at all those, see what's changed, and then overlay it on the NASDAQ, overlay it on the S&P, and show me how our customers are doing. And you can guess what the results have been. They actually outperform. Not always, not
Not
always.
always, but yeah.
I think in 36 months, like 33 months, they outperform. All you do is share that data and say, hey, you can say whatever you want. Here you go. Take the data.
Listen, from being an institutional, seller of size to learning retail trading, I have a lot of respect for retail traders because, first of all, half of the information out there is wrong. They have no guidance, they have no compliance, they have nobody helping them, right? So they're just out there on the raw and ragged edge. So if you can, that's what our whole mission is, to try and take normal, regular people and give them the knowledge so they don't get eaten alive, right? Learn how to survive and then start learning how to make money. And your app is, sort of the evolution of how, they can execute and manage their finances. Instead of, the old days, you go and you open a brokerage account and you wire money in, and then he calls you up and then they charge you 3.5%, 5 points commission, on the trade. The ticket charge is $25, and you've gone from that to putting it in the power in people's hands. And I think that with the education that you can get from what their behavior is like to help them sort of, get rid of bad behaviors and enforce good behaviors, I think that's that would be huge.
There,
Definitely.
we did an event in Miami a couple months ago, and we had a bunch of press there. We were launching some things, and we invited about 500 customers, a broad spectrum of customers from all areas regionally. And what a great conversation with this customer. He was super passionate and really, he works hard. He's an engineer, works hard, immigrant, came here, and he said, this has transformed my life, and not only my life, but now I've shared it with a bunch of other people, my family and friends, and it's transformed their life. But his description of it was, you don't love it because he's like, I started in it, I did everything wrong, I made some money, and then all of a sudden I lost almost all of it. And then I realized I really need to study. I really need to learn how to do this correctly. And he said, and I put the time in, and he said, now I am so consistently generating like 2 to 3% a month. And it's amazing. And I've shared this with now his family and his friends and that whole circle. And he's like, this is transforming, not just me, but families and communities, which is amazing, right? And I just think it's a combination of good people doing the right thing with education, which you guys are doing, giving them access and taking out all these friction points that really were designed to be an impediment so that you'd go to somebody else to help you.
Definitely.
Times are changing. I mean, they've been changing. It's fascinating for sure. I guess Q, I guess that's pretty much all the questions I really had. I mean, was there anything we haven't touched on in pertaining to the prediction markets, or I guess Robinhood in general, that you'd like the audience to know?
No, I think the only thing that I would say is what's really been cool is being part of the whole process of just getting all these amazing, I mean, like Robinhood's very young. Customers here are young, associates here are young, and they're young, they're more diverse, they're first-time brokerage customers, and it's been pretty magical because now I think we're sitting at 58% of US households. We're the envy of the world in terms of having people participate in the greatest wealth creation vehicle that's ever been. But Robinhood's only been domestic, and we're just starting to go international. That has me so excited. Not only is it exciting to think that there's legions of people that haven't been exposed to what they can do to have their money work for them, but I also really enjoy learning about other cultures, and they have different ways of approaching investing. In some areas, they're far more aggressive. In some areas, they're far more passive. It's just super fun to learn about those things. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Awesome. I guess Q, actually a question I do want to ask you, that I like to ask people who've been in the industry, for a long time, seen the evolution. I guess just what are your general thoughts, on crypto, or like maybe what you first thought when you first were introduced to crypto to where it's at now?
Yeah, I actually think I think what's coming out of crypto and what will come out of crypto is going to be really magical. Like the ability to do instantaneous settlement, the technologies behind it, and just the advent of a lot of things that that community and that asset class can provide. So I'm bullish. I wouldn't say I'm like full degen. I'm too old.
Not under Niagara Falls trading XRP.
But I also look at it. I also look at it through the lens of like, I've been around too long. Like I think of the things that all were vilified. Mutual funds. Oh my
Oh
God.
gosh, yeah.
ETFs. They're terrible. They're going to kill people. Come on. They're the most diversified instruments. Lowest cost on the planet. Options. Oh my God. Nobody. Those are the riskiest things on the planet. Like it's just in a laundry list of things that, again, that'll be mainstream one day, and we'll look back and be like, oh yeah, I forgot we said that these all were dangerous, and you know what I mean. So that's kind of the way I look at it. The other way though, the other thing I think about though is I also don't like when people from one generation prescribe how people from a different generation should do things. Like, no offense, Warren, but I don't really care how you invest. You've had jobs of success, God bless you. But our 20 some year old customers aren't going to invest the way you did. They can't buy Coke and IBM because most of the companies that come out today don't last 140 years. So if they applied your model, they'd probably be bankrupt, right? So, I mean, like, you just gotta, and like, I'm not one to like, I just don't think we should preach. I think we should give people the ability to invest in what they want to invest in. I'll give you one more example. Obviously Robinhood, GameStop, everybody's like, oh my God, these crazy kids on their couch with their stimmy money, gambling on these meme stocks. Guess what? 80% of those crazy kids gambling with their meme stock money and stimmy money are still with Robinhood, and now they have retirement accounts. And they're creating yield and they're saving. It doesn't matter how you start. It matters where you are in the journey and how you do, right? So
Definitely. It's great as old guys that we can be around young people. They keep
I
us
love it.
young, and we get exposed to these new ideas so we don't get stuck in our ways, and be that old guy in the three-piece suit smoking a cigarette going, oh, the business sucks. You know what it's right. We've all like when we were all starting, there was always some old guy who was bitter,
So funny. That
I let me know. Hey, will you guys let me know when I become that person?
was it doesn't seem like you ever
don't
will.
think
I that
so.
was that was so well said, Q. That was very well said. And even to the point, I think of the point like you're saying about 80% of the customers still being around. There's different styles of investing, different styles of trading, and from a lot of the modeling I've done, Q, aggressiveness a lot of times is going to yield a higher ROI, obviously, if you are managing your risk properly. And a lot of that old school, I think a lot of older investors lean on the side of conservatism, but might not reach, it depends on your goals. If you want to do a high risk, high reward strategy, there's mathematical sound ways to do it, and a lot of times it actually lines up properly that way.
But maybe just to add to your point, if now let's take that one step further. If I'm at the beginning of my investing career and I'm going to be gaining investable assets throughout my career, I'm in my max earning time, you should be very aggressive.
For sure.
You can just look at compounding and returns since the 50s and say, I know you could have 4 years in a row where you're going to lose money, but guess what? In the next 26, you're going to average 9% or whatever it is nowadays, right? So, you like when people look at cu different customers and say, oh my God, they're so aggressive. Yeah, they're not 98. They don't need to be in bonds, right?
For sure. For sure. Well said, right? Yeah. And it's, yeah, like different, like you said, like different, when I get older and I might want to be more passive, more, safe, different, you got different time periods, different strategies you want to employ. Very well said. I think that's a great note to end on. And so that's going to conclude today's episode of Confessions of a Market Maker. If you guys enjoyed the episode, please rate and review it for us. If you'd like to join a supportive and professional community of traders, you can join us at microefutures.com. Steve, I guess let the listeners know anything that we haven't talked about, or if you wish to be found, where they can find you. Any like social media or anything like that, or no?
Oh sure, yeah. I'm on both. I'm on LinkedIn and on X, I guess we're calling it nowadays. Sorry, I'm a little there.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Yes, exactly. And I can share my handles with you.
Sure. We'll make sure we'll put those in the description. Make sure you guys go there. Follow our man Q. JJ, any parting words?
Oh, it was so great speaking to you. I love speaking. To people who've been in the business and who've adapted and are just creating, just helping people create wealth. I think it's wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us and and giving us some knowledge and insight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun. I enjoyed it.
Really has. Thanks so much. So for Steve Cork, I'm Paulie Walnuts. He's a gorilla of House Street. You stops though.